Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
You're devaluing the word great if you follow with Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Wolf, I'm going to bring something to the table here that I know you're going to love.
Okay, good.
Because you're a big fan of this concept in general, okay?
Okay.
NBA power rankings. How do you feel about that?
Oh, stop. That's even worse.
So I'm looking at ESPN's, and it's funny because the headline is, well, let's see, they changed the headline on me, but it was major shuffle inside the top 10. Major top 10 shuffle in the latest NBA power rankings, okay?
Okay, so they didn't change it, you just didn't find it.
Well, when you click on it, it's a different title. Who would do such a thing? Like, why would you? Some of us are trying to do a radio show. Don't change the title on me.
You're a disaster right now. Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I'm watching the title change before my very eyes. Anyway, that major shuffle, well, it doesn't affect the team at number one. Wolf,
interns.
Still number one. Yes, let's blame an intern. Unless you're asking for an intern to come in here and replace me.
Okay, so who's number one on this NBA power poll?
Well, the Suns. That's the whole point. Well, they've been number one for a while.
That's good.
So the major shuffle doesn't affect the team in first place. That's the
You're
point.
So happy, right? You're so happy. Oh, man, the Suns are number one power poll. That just placates me. I just feel so good about that.
That's what you play for, right?
Okay, well, yes.
To be the number one of the power poll on January 25th.
Right now, too, anybody that has watched the Phoenix Suns play, this is what is so cool about this. Not only the 37-9, can you taste it, Basinonians, but it's also how they've done that. How many games has DA and Chris Paul and Devin Booker played together?
Exactly half now.
Exactly half. How about that right there? And here's Chris Paul, who's played in every game for the Phoenix Suns so far. 46 games played and 46 starts with Chris Paul right now. Truly an amazing feat. This team only gets better and better and better. And guess what? I don't think they're done. I don't think they're done getting better. I think they can actually get better on the defensive end of the floor. I think the rebounding can get better on the defensive end of the floor. This is something that has been a topic of discussion every time we've had K-Ray. Game day with K-Ray. Every time we've had him on, for the most part, or any Suns analyst, they've talked about rebounding. That's where they can get better. But right now, it's hard. You got to look really, really closely to see any flaws with the Suns.
So the reason I brought up the power rankings was not because the team with the best record was ranked number one. It was to bring up Bismack Biyombo, who they talk about in there. And they say one of the biggest beneficiaries of the 10-day hardship contracts this season has been Bismack Biyombo. And they go through and they give out his numbers, 10.1 points per game, 6.9 rebounds, 70.2% shooting. And that was actually before last night's game, Wolf, where he went out there and chipped in another 16 points, 13 rebounds, shot 70%. This is not a guy that, like, earlier in the season, which was for him only a couple weeks ago when they brought him in, I was like, that's a pretty cool story, you know?
Yeah. Great story.
Yeah. And then you hear Chris Paul and you hear Mikal Bridges talking about him. It's like, oh, it's kind of cool. They've made him a part of, like, the locker room. Wolf, he's contributing pretty much every night. Like, this is not a, oh, yeah, Bismack, yeah, he played 31 minutes last night. I understand that they have some injuries and whatnot and some guys out, but in his last four games, he has 17, 9, 21, and 16 points. He's played 25, 28, 30, and 31 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, he's a part of this now. He's not just a peripheral guy that's cool in the locker room.
Yeah. Do you not sit here and look at Bismack Biyombo and think to yourself, when's it going to drop? When is the other shoe going to drop? Like, what is he doing out there?
No, you know what I think?
I'm just saying, this guy has, from day one that he showed up, Bismack Biyombo has been unbelievable in his role and what it is that he's doing for the Phoenix Suns. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Where is all the action around Bismack? Where was it? What was he doing sitting out there? I got to tell you right now, I'm waiting for something. Okay, what is it? He can't focus? Is that what it is? Like, he's really good for 15, 20 games, and then all of a sudden he's not going to be good? What is the blemish? What is it? The stigmata, as we like to say.
63 points, 44 rebounds in his last four games. What I think when I look at Bismack Biyombo is what Mark Spears said when he was on with us earlier in the show of, how is this guy a free agent? I didn't even know he was out there. Like, you do kind of assume at the start of the year, you know, that just certain guys are on certain teams. Oh, I haven't heard from Bismack Biyombo in a while. He must be on Orlando or something. You know what I mean? Over there in some team. Sorry to Max Starks if he's listening. But yes, the Orlando Magic, like sort of the forgotten team in the Eastern Conference or something. No, he was available and the Suns got him. And he absolutely is a major part of this. Now, Wolf, why did the Suns get him? Well, because of James Jones, who just signed an extension earlier today.
What is incredible about it, was it Bismack Biyombo who pushed James Jones over the edge on the extension? Was it like Robert Sarver's looking around and they're going, oh my goodness, you signed this guy, Bismack Biyombo? Have you seen this Biyombo guy? Right?
They're just going down the
Where is James Jones?
Monty Williams.
James, I want to see you today in my office.
Yeah, so you brought in Monty Williams, brought in Chris Paul, and instead of Jay Crowder, you get Bismack Biyombo.
Bismack Biyombo.
Get him in here for an extension right now.
What is Bismack Biyombo? What is the problem? What is the labis labis, the stain that will not go away? Why was he out there? Why wasn't there a lot more interest over this guy? Now, I know that he did supposedly have some options.
It sounds like he had some interest, yeah.
But man, where was the clamoring? There's only one conclusion. This is as well as he has ever played. And it's because of the culture of the Phoenix Suns and how well he fits inside that culture. This is just a great reminder of how critical it is that you have a certain set of rules, stipulations, beliefs, dogma, and how you do things.
By the way,
it's called culture.
If anybody thought that, because I remember him being pretty good for Toronto back in 2015-16, and then it's like he kind of dropped off the face of the earth. Well, the next 2 years, he was in Orlando. So there you go. When I couldn't find him, he was in Orlando. But if you look at his numbers, if you just look at raw statistics, he's only played 9 games with the Suns, but I mean, he's never averaged double figures before. He's averaging 10.8 points per game. He's averaging 7.6 rebounds per game. That is the second highest of his career, and the highest was that year in Toronto when he was averaging 8 per game.
But this is the great thing about it. It's not just numbers when you watch Bismack.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The numbers are almost secondary.
Yes. You watch him play, man, and just how effective he is and how active he is on both ends of the floor, man. It is so cool to watch Bismack go about his business.
The golf tournament hailed as the People's Open returns to the TPC Scottsdale as the Waste Management Phoenix Open tees off February 7th and runs through February 13th. Head to the contest page at ArizonaSports.com right now for your chance to win tickets. Plus, one lucky winner will win greenskeeper passes. Coming up, the Carton, you want those greenskeeper passes? What are you laughing at?
Just thinking of Bismack. Bismack. What is the controversy over this guy's name as well? There are people out there that say Bismack, Basinonians. They say it. Bismack. When it's Bismack. Seriously?
It is fun to say Bismack, though. Let yourself say that first. It's a fun name.
Yeah.
If you enjoy
scratching your butt as well. Hey, that Bismack, I guarantee you that Bismack. That Bismack, I guarantee you.
That's the cutoff line. That's how you can tell, like, oh, that guy.
I don't get it.
He pronounces it Bismack. Yeah. I don't even have to hear him. Just look at what he's doing.
Right.
All right, could the Cardinals' most important free agent, they've got a lot of them this offseason, could that free agent actually be flying under the radar a little bit nationally? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
A Okay, I was not ready for that, ladies and gentlemen. That was just not right whatsoever. You have to give me
You said every other day.
Well, I didn't know we actually started that. I didn't know it was policy yet.
Okay. All right, that's my bad.
Okay,
my
honestly,
bad. Who did
right
you call
now,
out, though, when your mic was off?
Yeah, because you did do one.
No, I did not, actually. No. I hit the button, and it didn't go on. Have you ever done that before where you think you've pushed the button?
Yes, earlier in the show I did that.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. You know what that means right now? That means Wednesday. Here it comes.
Oh, boy. You call out the mic button. That's what I'd be calling
the
out.
Pantera call out right there. Boy, you got to give me some kind of heads up on that.
I didn't use to.
Seriously, I'm walking around out there in the newsroom. I'm talking to people. I'm not trying to scare them with my voice. Not of course. Well, what's your point?
That's my bad. That's my bad. I'll give you a heads up next time.
I got to say, I know nobody got to hear it, but I got to be entertained because you did come tearing in here. You did start to do one.
I was, what is going on?
But the mic did not turn on, so you got like a partial Pantera behind the scenes call out. That'll be like in the lost episodes.
You cannot understand, Basin Onions, how many people actually at me on Twitter or text me or actually email me in regard to the Pantera call out. And they wanted to come back.
I get tagged on some of those.
I'm just telling you right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they all missed a good one right there.
There's a couple of haters that are out there as well.
Maybe you should call them
out. Cannot stand. Yeah, you know what? It's not a bad idea.
I can tell you, once you're the target of the Pantera call out, you're sold, having been the target twice of the Pantera call out over the years. All right. I almost asked you where we're going here. But no.
You know what? There's never a bad time to play Pantera, is there, my friends?
Not that I've ever experienced, no. So ESPN has this has their list of the top 50 free agents in the NFL this offseason, and they have a couple Cardinals on the list. And so Chandler Jones, you scroll down, okay, Chandler Jones is at number 16. You scroll down a little bit further, Christian Kirk is at number 39. Now, we all agree, and we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, and even a little bit during the season, there are a lot of players on this Cardinals team this year that might not be back next year, not just because they're frustrated that they lost, but like Chase Edmonds, AJ Green, a ton of other players that we don't even list because they're not on the same level of Chandler Jones or a Christian Kirk. Or how about a James Conner, Wolf, who's not even in the top 50 on this list? And you might say, okay, big deal, it's a list on ESPN, so what? Maybe. But it did kind of get both of us to thinking, guy averaged 3.7 yards per carry. He might not be that big of a name around the league right now. He had the 15 touchdowns. He may have more value specifically to the Cardinals than he would to most of the league. And that could actually work in Arizona's favor because they might need to be able to get him, or they might be able to get him relatively cheap. Not as cheap as you got him this year.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you have to wonder, where is that point? Where is that point for Steve Keim and the Arizona Cardinals? You know they want James Conner back. I think we can say that with certitude, that they want James Conner back. And I know that I want him back so badly right now, I can taste it, man. I mean, this is a guy, 6'1", 232 pounds. This is a guy that embodied what this team needs to be going forward. He embodied what this team needed to be this year. The physicality that he brought to the field, it was immediate.
Yeah.
It, you know what? And here's the other thing you have to understand. Talk to some of the offensive linemen for the Arizona Cardinals. Talk to some of the offensive linemen when they have to block for James Conner. Talk to some of the linemen if you ever get the opportunity to get them into a conversation. Talk to them about how it makes you feel when you're blocking for a guy that's about ready to truck somebody, right?
Out of the way.
Just the mentality that it brings to a huddle when you're looking around and you see some furrowed brows, ladies and gentlemen. You don't see a bunch of laughing and people, they're just so goofy. Let's go out of here. You don't see that in the huddle. You see a lot of stern looks on the faces because they understand, especially when you're playing Aaron Donald in the Los Angeles Rams. There's a lot of stern looks because, you know, embarrassment is on its way. James Conner, by virtue of his presence in this offense and in that huddle, changed this team. Physically changed this team. Philosophically changed this team. James Conner, to me, is a must. If he doesn't get back, I'm going to be broken. I'm just telling you that right now. Somehow, so wow. Somebody comes in
the
here
bar just got
and
raised.
They offer James Conner $10 million a year, and I start breathing because you know that's probably going to get him out of here.
$10 million. Yeah, I mean, you read off the salaries of, you said, what, eight running backs that were making eight figures? Is
yes.
that right? He's not, as much as I love having him on the Cardinals and as much as I think they got to do everything they can reasonably to keep him here, I don't see a team giving him eight figures when you look at the guys that are on that list of, like, okay, Christian McCaffrey never plays anymore, but when he does, he's good.
Yeah.
But, like, Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb, as much as I like James Conner, I don't think a team's going to throw that much money at him because if you're just looking at his stats, they're not anything amazing except the touchdowns. But the touchdowns specifically are what the Cardinals needed.
You know, the only guy that I see up there on this list of eight guys that are making eight figures is Derrick Henry. That is the one guy that I would look at right now and say he deserves it. 12.5.
Oh, yeah.
12.5. That's what he's getting paid. Derrick Henry, I'll pay him that.
He's the whole team in a lot of ways.
16, I'll give you $16 million. I'll take Christian McCaffrey's salary and give that to Derek.
Yeah, McCaffrey's. They probably are wishing they maybe didn't pay that, although every time he plays, he's amazing. I don't know, but I'm
thinking about $8 million for James Conner, and I'm thinking I'm going to pay $8 million.
I think that would
James
get it done.
Conner.
Wouldn't that get it done? I feel like that would get it done.
I think so. That's what I think he'd be worth. Yet there's somebody out there, and you know how this works. It's called free agency, man. And the powers of free agency, the grass is always greener on the other side, and you as an organization covet what you don't have. And you could look at James Conner, and you could start drooling. The coveting is there for a guy that is 6'1", 232 pounds. There's a lot of teams out there who can catch the ball as well as he does coming out of the backfield. There's a lot of teams out there that are going, man, I guarantee you, I didn't know that. I didn't know he could do that now. I had no idea he could do that. There's people drooling over James Conner and trying to envision him or project him into your offense.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking at just like what team would overpay for James Conner that also doesn't really need him, you know? Like that he wouldn't help them enough, like Houston. Houston goes out and overpays for James Conner. Cool, he's not going to help you guys. You're not close enough to the goal line to get in.
Okay, great. You're
a team
eliminating
like Baltimore.
Houston.
Yes.
Just going That's great. Through. Thank you for that, Luke.
So we're down to 30 other teams.
I really appreciate that.
I wouldn't want to
Who's
run Seattle.
Who's the other one now? Did you say Baltimore?
Well, Baltimore's interesting.
Oh,
I mean, is that not a Baltimore-like
Stop
player?
Stop it.
Yeah, that's...
Why did you say that?
Because that makes a lot of
you
sense.
You just spoke it, man.
Nah,
that's the one
get
right
they're
there.
Just, yeah, that Baltimore.
No, that's the one. Yeah. If I'm John Harbaugh, yeah, I'm breathing that one in right there, licking the lips.
Yeah. But even they're not going to give him $10 million. If they do. So to recap.
Really?
If
is the running game a big part of what they do?
I would say it's almost all of what they do.
It's a big part of what they do. And now all of a sudden you got someone who's 6'1", 232 pounds that you can actually put behind Lamar Jackson in the queue. You could put him with his feet at six behind Lamar Jackson, or you could put him in the gun. Doesn't matter. Yeah, you know what? That seriously, I can't even believe you said
that. I'm not. See, I've stopped talking about it because it is making too much sense. I can tell you, if that happens, I'm not coming into work because you said earlier in the segment, you're going to be a mess if they lose James Conner.
I know.
And if he specifically goes to Baltimore, I'm going to be like, you know, I kind of feel partially responsible.
Well, that's okay. We'll go out and get somebody who's 205 pounds. some running back, right? When James Conner just makes you want to smear the eye black on it and bloody the knuckles up.
The point of bringing up that ESPN list was the perception of him. And I know that's ESPN, that's not other GMs, but he's not even listed in their top 50. So it's like maybe there's not going to be a huge rush to pay him a ridiculous amount of money.
Man, I guarantee you John Harbaugh read that and laughed out loud.
He's like, where's the player we're trying to sign? Oh, he's down here beneath Leonard Fournette, who I also like. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll take you through the top stories of the day with a twist. We're going back into the wide world of words next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Perhaps we can dispense with the fun and games now, yes?
The wide world of words.
That's a made-up word.
I know that's not a word, but it sounds so good to say.
It's time to fill in the blank with Wolf and Luke.
What's in a word? Evidently, a lot.
Okay, I always feel better for round two. I always feel like early in the show, it's good. It like kind of loosens you up for the show, but now it's like I'm going to use some words that have more than one syllable.
Yeah.
So get ready.
Or he sounds like clubbing or something like that.
Well, you would know.
Is that where you take all of your girls? Dating tips with Ron Wolfley.
Oh, my goodness. That is hysterical, is it not, when you consider the facts, ladies and gentlemen?
All right. It is the wide world of words. Aaron Maloney is here to run the show.
Dating advice from your Uncle Ron.
That's got to be coming up at some
poor
point.
Poor Savannah. Okay.
Right.
The Arizona Cardinals should learn blank from the divisional round over the weekend.
Let's see.
In-game resiliency.
Yes, man, that is, you know what, I can't top that. Oh. I wasn't going to go there, I'm just going to rip you off. That is, it is in-game resiliency right there. The adversity. All you do is take that Bills-Chiefs game in the last 2 minutes of that game and just put it on a loop. Put it on a loop inside the locker room and just let it roll. That's exactly what they have to learn, adversity and overcoming adversity, especially
in
the quarterback position.
Yeah, no, and that Chiefs-Bills game, while it was so fun to watch, if you're a Cardinals fan, you had to kind of look and be like, okay, we wouldn't be able to hang with them right now. Now, probably most of the team couldn't, or most of the league, rather, couldn't have hung with the Bills and Chiefs on Sunday night, but yeah, that did not seem like a good environment for the Cardinals, where it would be like, oh, you're down by four, okay, now you're up by three, now you're down by four again. We haven't seen that all year.
So what is your answer?
It's the one you stole. And by the way, people can hear this, so they know you stole it.
Okay, here we go.
Bismack Biyombo continues to show you blank.
Everything. I absolutely love watching this guy go out and tap into the rage tree and play with desperation. You can just see it. The concentration and the focus that he brings to the floor on both ends right now. It's just truly amazing to see. And I think of Bismack Biyombo early. I think it was game two or game three after showing up here and making a difference immediately, where he blocked the last shot of a game where he didn't even need to block the last shot. And Devin Booker came walking over with this stern look on his face. And right before he got to him, just burst into this big grin, childlike grin, in appreciation for what he had just seen from a guy like Bismack Biyombo.
So I gotta say this. We have a Twitter follower that follows our show account, and he said, Bismack Biyombo or Big Mac Large Combo? And now
no.
Every time someone says Bismack Biyombo, I just can't get Big Mac Large Combo out of my head.
Goodness.
Never gonna go away. I'm gonna think that
Big
all the time.
Big Mac Large Combo.
It's right up there with Bed Bath and Biyombo and To Infinity and Biyombo, but Big Mac Large Combo is going to be stuck in my head.
Don't say that.
You're going to be thinking
it. You know what's going to happen. You're going to try to say Bismack Biyombo, and you're going to get hungry.
Or I'm going to say Bismack Large Combo. That's what I'm going to say.
No.
He continues to show me the value of the 10-day hardship contract. That's what Bismack Biyombo keeps showing me. What a career revival for him. And to step in and put up some of the best numbers he's put up in, like, 7 years and to do it on a team that might win the NBA title, just step right in mid-season.
Yeah.
It's been fun to watch.
Aaron Rodgers will be the quarterback of blank in 2022.
Denver.
Boy, it's hard not to say Denver. It's really hard not to say Denver.
It feels like Denver, doesn't it?
So I'm going to say Denver.
You just took my answer again?
We'll see if you guys
wait a minute.
Come up with your own answers this next one.
At some point in time, I was talking about him being in Denver.
But that's why I said it quickly. That's why I answered as fast as I possibly could. It does feel like Denver.
Pass.
Ooh, how about this? New Orleans. No, that's not going to make sense now because they don't have a head coach.
No, are you kidding me?
Super Bowl 56 will feature blank versus blank.
All right. So it makes sense that you would say Chiefs-Rams. I don't feel like it's going to work out the way it would completely make sense. I can't pick the Niners again to beat the Rams. So am I really going to go Bengals? Am I going to ride the Bengals all the way to the Super Bowl? Am I going to say Bengals-Rams? I just said Bengals-Rams.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan knows exactly what it takes to beat the Los Angeles Rams. And because of that, I'm going to say 49ers. 49ers with Jimmy G? You're going to say 40? Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say 49ers and Chiefs.
All right.
As a Cardinals fan, you will be rooting for blank in the NFC Championship.
49ers.
The game to get canceled.
Honestly, I'm going to root for the 49ers. It's just too L.A. Sean McVay, respect him greatly as a coach. Matthew Stafford. L.A., no, I don't want to see the Rams. I want to see the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go 49ers, too. It's funny because I've never really had a problem with the Rams, and maybe I should because the Cardinals quarterbacks always seem to get hurt against the Rams. I never really had a problem until, like, the last couple weeks, and I told you I found myself rooting for Tom Brady, which has never happened, and now I'm going to be pulling for San Francisco.
And not only that, too, next year, after beating the 49ers twice, you can walk out of the field and say, we own you.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers. Isn't that what he said leaving Chicago?
He did.
Vance Joseph.
I'm joking, Basin Onions, okay?
Will coach the blank when the 2022 season kicks off.
Man.
I'm going to say Cardinals defense.
Wow.
I'm going to say he will coach the Cardinals defense.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to coach the Cardinals defense.
This is really interesting right now because you're starting to hear some leaks, some whispers about Vance Joseph being the next head coach for the Miami Dolphins. And knowing how well he presents, ladies and gentlemen, man, if you ever have the opportunity to talk to Vance Joseph, you will be really impressed. This guy knows his stuff. He's incredibly articulate, very smart. And the fact that he's got experience with the Dolphins and was there in 2016 as their defense. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I believe it. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I think Miami's burning for Vance Joseph.
I feel like if this was Jeopardy, you would have timed out. Did you say Dolphins?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? Right. What are you saying?
I'm just saying, if this were an actual game show, they would have been like, sir, we need your answer now.
What were you going to say?
I said Cardinals defense. Yeah.
You did say it. That's right. Where's the coffee?
The last one. Blank is the word you would use to describe Chris Paul's ability to take over a game in the fourth quarter. Luxurious.
Yes, luxurious is a good one. Uncanny.
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 It's really hard to understand, isn't it? It's hard to understand how he routinely takes over the game every game, game in, game out. There's Chris Paul. In crunch time, give him the ball, and he takes over. It's hard to understand how that is possible. Therefore, I'm going to say it's abstruse.
Oh. Wait, did I get a definition on that?
Did you not hear me say it's difficult to understand or obscure?
It's okay.
It's abstruse.
It's abstruse. That's how the wide world of words should be played. You should be throwing out words I've never even heard of before.
Can I get the language of origin?
Yeah. We're gonna need a,
I don't know.
Sounds Dutch.
Of origin. I think that's Latin.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Abstruse.
He went Latin to close out the wide world of words. All right, that was the wide world of words. Thank you again, Aaron. When we come back, the Phoenix Suns, final segment of the show, actually. So be ready to see your favorite breweries again as the Arizona Strong Beer Festival returns on February 19th at Bell Bank Park in Mesa. Tickets are on sale now, but you can win a pair by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. Yeah, the fourth quarter, that is the Suns' quarter, and even when teams know it's coming, they can't seem to stop it. The Jazz found out firsthand last night. We'll get into it next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
You can't touch this.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Can't touch this. My music hit so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord.
Genuinely cannot think of the last time I heard this song.
Listen, I respect him, but I was not a big MC Hammer guy. I was not.
What about his other songs?
What do you mean?
I don't know.
What are you talking about? His other songs?
He had one other song.
No, he had a lot of songs, didn't he?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
I remember this song. I remember hearing it when I was like 7, and I heard it today.
How about a modicum of respect? Show a little respect right there.
I cannot dance like MC Hammer. Didn't he do things like, he did things with the Atlanta Falcons, didn't he?
He did things. I don't know if it was with the Atlanta Falcons.
I remember being on the Falcons sidelines with Deion. Remember
the pants that he had? Remember that? Oh, my goodness, the pants.
Are you saying we should bring those pants back right now?
No way, man.
We could try.
Man's got to know his limitations.
What would happen if you went home today wearing MC Hammer pants?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've never asked you this. Okay. Forgive me for asking this live on the air right here.
But
you busted on the dance floor, don't you?
Consistently, yeah. How do you think I warm up for the show?
I can't see you doing it, man. I see you being really stiff. It's just my, you know, just a guy that doesn't have a... I mean, are you... Just admit it. If you are, it's okay.
Do you look at me and see somebody that, quote, busts it on the dance floor, unquote? No.
No, you could bust it up. No,
I mean, I could walk onto a dance floor and be like, everybody calm down out here. But okay. I couldn't actually dance like MC Hammer.
I mean, man's got to know. Hey, listen, I'm stiff, ladies and gentlemen, all right? Just stiff. On a dance floor. Who cares? All right, who cares?
It's fine to admit that. I don't know if it's okay to admit that while MC Hammer's playing in the background.
Yeah, that because if you can't dance to MC Hammer, you can't dance.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it, right?
That's it. It's one or the other.
Listen, the only way you're ever going to see me on a dance floor is with the Warrior Queen, okay? Because she loves to dance. And what's one of the coolest things about it? I just have to sit there and do like nothing but be the stiff robot guy. And then his wife just dances around him.
It's probably the way to
do it. It's a beautiful thing.
Unless you're dancing to this song. But if you're going to wear the MC Hammer pants next time you guys go dancing, she's going to expect you to dance.
Yeah, you don't put those pants on, man. No. You do not put those pants on unless you think you can bust it.
It's a lot of responsibility that comes with those pants.
Warning! Warning! Your hamstring is going to get ready to fly out your armpit.
Not a doctor, but that doesn't seem healthy. All right, the Phoenix Suns with the win last night. The going into the fourth quarter trailing, but pull out the win anyway strategy that they've implemented for most of the season. Utah was missing a lot of players. The Suns were missing a lot of players, too. Monty Williams, after the game, said, yeah, this is just really kind of a strange year.
Never in my career. I mean, this is about the strangest era of basketball from missing player standpoint that I've ever seen. The COVID stuff, the injuries, it's just a different basketball. And I think the number of starters that are missing in the league right now is probably, I don't know if I should even talk about it because I don't know the numbers, but it just seems like a lot of those guys are out. A lot of rotation guys are out of the league right now.
You know what? I'm just going to ignore what Monty said right there. I'm going to say Cam Johnson. Can I talk about Cam Johnson? Did you happen to notice Cam Johnson?
I've got some Cam Johnson audio.
And the way that Cam Johnson was playing last night, what are you becoming, dude? Who are you? And what are you doing, Command and Control? Cam Johnson? I mean, he scored 20 points, but if you watch Cam Johnson play, this guy might be the most improved son, period, this year.
Yeah.
When you talk about a guy and how much he's improved, Cam Johnson, it's difficult to pick somebody other than Cam Johnson. And don't say Bismack Biyombo. Okay.
Now Dave Burns is going to get mad at me again.
Now this is it right here, though. You're probably driving around the basin right now, and you're thinking to yourself, where have I heard this song before? Why is this haunting me, this song right here? Well, the last time you saw it, there was some dude who was in a robe, and he was dancing in front of a mirror, thinking he was becoming something. He was changing, if you know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, who does this song, by the way? Who is this?
That sounds because like some sort imagine, of 80s song.
Can you imagine right now? The stain, the labis labis, as we say in the Latin, that you wear. Knowing what made this song famous was some guy dancing in front of a mirror in nothing but a robe.
So,
and I mean nothing.
Has everybody seen Silence of the Lambs except me? Like, is 100% of the audience driving around right now being like, Silence of the Lambs?
Honestly, right now, Luke, you don't know what scene this is. You don't have that.
I've not seen the movie.
Oh, my goodness.
And based on the look on your face, I don't want to see the movie.
Yes, you do. You want to see it. This is unbelievable right here. And if you saw it, right, Basinonians, you know what I'm talking about. This dude dancing in front of the mirror.
I think they put cameras in the studio just to film you dancing.
I'm just saying, stop it. Somebody actually had to think of that and write that scene. That's the scariest part about that.
I'm sure it would be had I seen it. But from what I know about that movie, whoever had to write it made a lot of money.
Okay, where are we going in this beautiful part
of
the program now that we all have Silence of the Lambs?
Now let's see, what can I do with a couple minutes? Well, you mentioned Cam Johnson. So here, I'll throw this out there. Talking about having a short memory when he shoots. And actually, I'm going to pivot away from Cam Johnson. I'm going to go to Devin Booker because Devin Booker took 35 shots last night.
I'm just making shots, man. I'm going to keep shooting even tonight, man. I got them up. I got them up and didn't make as many as I wanted to. You know, but that's the nature of the game, you know, having a short memory and just keep going. I told you earlier today, you know, it resulting in a win always helps. And, you know, just having fun out there, you know, having fun through it all, having fun with this team, everybody that's playing, just high energy. It was a great crowd in there tonight, and, you know, I just had a lot of fun.
Yeah, Book was 14 of 35 in the game last night. It's the most shots he's taken in a game all
year. Exactly right. Yeah, no doubt about it. And it seems like he's trying to find himself and work on that right now. He's taken a lot more shots. This is a guy that typically averages, what, under 18 shots a game. And we've seen him now over the last five, six games. I think he's been averaging more like 30 shots a game. It's been very, very – actually, that's a little much.
You might be right because his two highest shot totals of the season are 35 last night and 33 against San Antonio last Monday. So he's gone 33, 25, 23, 35.
Yeah, you know, honestly, though, what I loved about Devin Booker, not the fact he scored 33 points, because he did go cold in that fourth quarter, and especially down the stretch. He had some open threes that he missed, and he typically does not do that. But what I loved about it was, okay, if I'm not going to do it on the offensive end, I'll do it on the defensive end. Did you see his defense on Jordan Clarkson late in that game right there? Just like a glove all over him, and all of a sudden stripped the ball. He's diving on the ground. Devin Booker is going to do what it takes to win a game. Doesn't matter. This is where he has grown the most. I'm going to do what it takes to win a game, offensive end or defensive end.
This is interesting, too. He said this because the Suns did have the lead early and let it slip away.
I think we started executing and defending better. First half, I think we had a good start to the game and then, you know, got a little comfortable. And, you know, those guys were ready to play. You know, they took advantage of their opportunity and came out aggressive and confident. And once they got their confidence, you know, they little bit tougher to stop when they're just letting the ball fly.
Yeah, I love that right there, honestly. It's one of my favorite wins of the season, the fact that the Utah Jazz didn't have their starting lineup and six of their top nine scorers were out, and yet the Suns still took care of business and won the game. And I know that sounds so easy to anybody that is out there, but it was like playing your little brother in the driveway for the Suns, and yet they still took a professional approach and won the game.
Your little brother that you just picked up another important game on in the standings atop the Western Conference. All right, that will do it for us today. Thanks to Aaron Maloney for everything behind the glass. For Wolf, I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo coming up next right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.